Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word comes to us today from the fourth chapter of Luke, where again we hear Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. This is the word of the Lord. In the days of the Civil War, it was illegal to trade in cotton, but many opportunistic types tried to buy cotton in the South, run it through Union lines, and sell it at great profit in the North. One of these entrepreneurs approached a Mississippi steamboat captain and offered him $100 if he would run cotton up the river for him. The captain declined, reminding him that it was illegal. "I'll give you $500, said the man. "No, answered the captain. "About $1,000. "No, the captain replied. "I'll give you $3,000 to run that cotton." And at that, the captain drew his pistol and pointed it at the man and said, "Get off this boat. You're coming too near my price." That's often how temptation works, isn't it? Some things that the devil dangles in front of you are just not worth trying. There are stupid things that are very easy to pass on with the help of God. And then there are the temptations that our enemy custom designs just for you. He fashions something deeply attractive to you, something that seems to offer excitement or fulfillment or power or control or pleasure right this instant. And he places it right in front of you. It's there for the taking. How do you respond? You and I need to know and be reminded that when we believe the lies of the devil and choose to sin, we are choosing evil. We are choosing death. I'm guessing that you wouldn't think that drinking a bottle of poison is a good idea. Yet when you indulge yourself in sinful behavior, that's what you're doing to your heart, to your soul. Worse yet, as a Christian, when you give in to temptation and deliberately choose to sin, the net effect is that you're saying that the death of Jesus on the cross wasn't that big of a deal after all. Have you ever thought of it that way? Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted, and that is extremely important for us to notice. As a man, Jesus was targeted by Satan just like we are. Just like you and me, he had choices to make every single day, except in his case, the wrong choice, just one, would destroy everything. We know how we respond to a custom-made temptation. The question is, how did Jesus respond? Well, the way Jesus responded begins with the truth. He recognized that every temptation that the devil serves up is a lie. Jesus called Satan the father of lies because deception is his specialty. You see that in the temptations that he dangles before Jesus. He tries to cause Jesus to doubt his own identity as the Son of God. Satan offers him authority over creation and the kingdoms of the world, which seems like a strange temptation until you realize what he's really doing is saying to Jesus, "You know what? You could avoid this whole unpleasant cross thing and go right to ruling all the nations. No suffering, no death for you. I can give you that." Satan even tries to distort and manipulate God's word, which really is what he did with Eve back in the garden, asking the question, did God really say, planting the seed of doubt in her mind about what God had clearly mentioned. But the devil's temptations, every one of them, are lies. Do you like being lied to? In southern Mexico lies a location called the Cave of the Lighted House. And as you make your way to the cave, you walk through this lush rainforest. The cave is fed by 20 underground springs. The cave itself is home to beautiful rock formations and amazing ponds. The whole environment just seems inviting. Yet if you go into that cave, if you accept the invitation without the proper equipment, you'll soon be dead. Because the cave of the lighted house is filled with sulfur, poisonous gas. That's temptation. Satan puts something in front of you that seems inviting and exciting and attractive, but it's a lie. In reality, it's poisonous, it's toxic. Once you walk into that cave without the proper protection, it's too late. You're not just getting away with something, you're choosing death of body and spirit. When you are being tempted, you're being lied to, and no one is going to laugh at you harder than Satan when he gets you to walk into that cave of your own free will. And if he does get you to go in there, you've bought it, and now you have to pay for it. With your life. Thanks be to God that you have someone who values you and loves you so much that he would willingly say to you, I know that you've bought the devil's lies, you've got to pay for it with your life, but let me pay for it with my life for yours. I want to do this for you. And that's what Jesus has done for you, for me, for everyone. That's why he allowed himself to be so brutally beaten and nailed to a cross to make the payment that would erase your sins. That's why we see him resisting temptation so carefully and so perfectly. His sacrifice on the cross had to be perfect. And it was. He had to respond to temptation perfectly because you and I could never do that. He did. And the majesty of the gospel is that it counts for you. Your account has been credited, paid in full, in Jesus' name. And in order to enjoy the benefits of this gift, all you have to do is trust that Jesus has, in fact, made this payment on your behalf. Then forgiveness and new life is yours. And part of that new life in Jesus is a new perspective on temptation and sin. The Holy Spirit will work to change the way you think and feel about walking into that cave. In Paul's letter to Titus, he writes, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodly and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." What an amazing promise. A self-controlled, upright, and godly life is something that a Christian will want to pursue if he or she truly understands the gift of grace they've received in Jesus. A Christian will look to Jesus first for forgiveness and restoration, and then for direction and guidance. And Jesus had a great lesson for you and me about resisting temptation when you examine how he did it. In each case in today's gospel, when the devil tempts Jesus, Jesus responds with words from Holy Scripture. He's able to draw on his knowledge of Holy Scripture to combat the lies of the devil and to stand for what is true. And forgive me for stating the obvious, but this is one critical reason we need to get into God's Word and study God's Word and know what it says for the purpose of discernment, for discerning the devil's lies when he tells them, and being able to say no to them. The stronger you are in the knowledge of God's word, the better you'll be at living in the pattern of repentance and faith. The stronger you are in the knowledge of God's word, the better you will be at being conscious of sin's high price, that it's not a laughing matter. And the stronger that you are in the knowledge of God's word, the more plugged in you will be to the power of the Holy Spirit, who enables you to make godly choices in the heat of the moment. It's been said that there is a space between the moment something happens and how we respond. And maybe we ought to work to make that space a little bit larger so that we can choose better responses. Trusting in Jesus and animated by His Spirit, we can make good, godly choices. We can choose not to continue in a conversation that is engaged in gossip, for example. We can choose not to let our temper out of the stall when we're provoked. We can choose not to stab someone in the back. We can choose not to lie or massage the truth. We really can say no to the devil's lies. Holy Scripture says so. One last detail. In his gospel, Matthew tells us that after Jesus went through this ordeal of temptation and response, angels came and ministered to him. Even Jesus needed to be ministered to after going through a difficult time of testing. He received the service of angels to strengthen him for the road ahead. That's what we're doing here today. We get beat up out there. We need to be ministered to. We need to come together so that God can give us His gifts through His messengers. We need to stand and sing with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven so that we remember whose side we're on and who's on our side. Never forget this fact. The devil did not succeed. He failed. His lies did not prevent Jesus from being the spotless Lamb of God. His lies could not keep the Son of God in the tomb. His lies will not prevent Jesus from returning to judge the living and the dead. And his lies cannot separate you from Jesus' love. Our Lord will always share His victory and His truth with you. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, You have given us and armed us with Your word, which can combat every lie of the devil. Give us such an appetite for Your word that we would take it into ourselves, live it and breathe it and learn it so that we would able to be saying no to the devil's lies and saying yes to Your words of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the God of peace Himself grant you peace at all times and in all ways. The Lord be with you all. Amen.